my name is Ellie. Welcome back to another podcast. I'm joined today by Hilary Wood, who is a project officer on our project based in Manchester, which is called My World City. Hello, Hilary.
Hello, hello, Ellie. Hello, everyone.
So obviously the My World City project based in Manchester, it's all about local wildlife. It's all about how vital places like our gardens and yards and parks are for wildlife. And so, Hilary, what should we be doing for wildlife in our gardens now that it's a bit colder? We've come into autumn. It feels like in a day, all of a sudden, autumn is here. And what should we be doing now?
Yeah, well, it is that time of year, as you say, all of a sudden, isn't it, when the nights, the dark hours are longer than the daylight hours, and it's getting colder and damper, and to be honest, less inviting to go outside, isn't it? And it's a time when loads of people think they want to go out into their gardens and backyards and sort of tidy everything up. And I suppose that I think what I'm saying is the biggest thing you can do for wildlife is resist that temptation. Don't go out and tidy everything up. If you try and think about your garden or your backyard or your pots outside your front door, from a ladybird or a blue tit or a spider or a bee's point of view, what are they wanting? You know, all winter, just like in the summer, they need food, they need water, they need shelter, and especially in the winter, of course, it's shelter they're needing. And all those stalks and seed heads and brown leaves and dead flower stems, all those things provide shelter for invertebrates and other really small creatures. So, you know, ladybirds can overwinter in the hollow stems of plants and what we might call weeds as well. You know, spiders are going to go into the lower branches where it's dry underneath a bush or a shrub or a hedge. You know, you'll find wood lice in the damp spots under your pots and if you've got any logs and leaves lying around. So yeah, if you think of it from their point of view, by clearing and tidying and sweeping and cutting, you're taking away their winter shelter. So please try and resist it. I think, you know, we all need to cut things back sometimes, don't we? You know, things get overgrown and they're not in the right place and you need to. And if you have to do that, leave the cuttings that you make, so all the stems that you chop down, leave them for a couple of days to make sure that the creatures can disperse, can move away into new areas of shelter before popping them into your green bin or taking them to the tip to get composted. So yeah, just think about everything from a ladybird's point of view, really. That's what I'd recommend.
Will do. We'll bear that in mind. So obviously a lot of us are still so keen to be getting out, and we want to feel as though we're actively doing something in our garden. Yeah. So just saying, just leave everything is, although it's asking people to do nothing, it's often quite hard to ask people to do nothing. Is there anything, any jobs that for those who are really keen, who just can't help themselves and want a little project, is there anything that we sort of can be doing that will help wildlife in our gardens?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a lovely time of year to think about next spring, and it's the time to plant spring bulbs. So if you can get yourself to a shop, a garden centre, somewhere that sells spring bulbs, and plant them either in a pot or in some soil in your yard or your garden, that would be great, because, you know, how cheerful is that going to be in February, March and April when we've come through all those long, dark, gloomy months, to have some flowers, some colour right next to your house and where you are. You know, it's brilliant for us. So it'll just really cheer us up. And also, you know, some of those bulb flowers are just great for bees. And if you think, oh, quite often there's some, you know, there's one odd warm day in February or March when the sun comes out, and bees might come out. And when they do, they really need food because they've been overwintering without any. And crocuses are particularly good. You know, they're low growing, quite often purple, yellow bulb flowers. And they're really good for bees to feed on. But also the flowers close up at night. So they create a little shelter. And sometimes bees actually crawl into the flower, shelter all night inside the closed flower, and then when the flower opens up, then there you are, they've got ready-made breakfast for them.
That's so cute.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
Yeah, the image, yeah, of a little bee just snuggled up inside a flower.
Yeah, and even if not, you're not, they're not there, you can imagine they are. So I think that's a really great thing to do, for to prepare now for, you know, to have those flowers both for ourselves and for wildlife next spring would be great.
And is it's kind of gently approaching the kind of season where we start thinking about planting trees, isn't it?
Well, I suppose, yes, it is. It's well, you know, this summer is over now, isn't it? So the tree planting season is when all the leaves are off the trees. So that's more like late November, December, January. But, you know, trees and larger shrubs, they need a bit of planning because, you know, there's no point in just popping them in. They're not like bulbs for it that we've just talked about where, you know, they just need to be in a nice sunny spot. You know, trees are for, you're going to be your friend for years, aren't they? So have a think about where the best spot is. And there are small trees and that are suitable for gardens. And when I say small, I don't mean small when you plant them, but small growing. You know, very few people have got a garden big enough for an oak tree, have they? But, you know, there's hawthorns and hazels and crabapples, which would all grow on woodland edges in the wild. And they can be ideal if you've got a reasonable sized garden, or if you plant them in a pot, that will keep them smaller because their roots won't be able to grow. And so long as you water them when it's drier in the summer, they won't mind being in a pot. So have a think if you've got room for one of those lovely small trees or large shrubs, because they're home to hundreds of insects. And of course, that means in turn food and shelter for the birds as well. So that'll be really making a big benefit to the wildlife in your garden.
Great. Loads of things to be thinking about and things to be sort of planning and getting excited for.
Yeah, that's right. Think if you've got space, you can have a look around your garden now and think if you've got space, and then have a look to actually planting later on, as I say, around, you know, just before Christmas or around that sort of time.
And of course, autumn still is a really exciting time for wildlife. I think you sort of touched on it earlier, Hilary, that obviously it is a bit, it does kind of feel, I think, for a lot of people, a bit harder to get outside now that it's so sort of cold. But the benefits of getting outside are still there, and there is still loads of wildlife to be looking out for and getting excited by. You know, just because it's a bit kind of colder and the day's a bit shorter doesn't mean there's any less to see necessarily, is there?
No, not at all. And I think, you know, autumn is a real time of change. You know, you can see from, you know, the trees, I'm looking right now at the tree on the street outside my house, and the leaves are beginning to change. There are some berries on it, you know. So it's a great time to see the change of colours. You've got those lovely spider's webs all with the raindrops and the mist on in a morning that are just, you know, just really lovely to look at. Don't forget to look up, because, you know, you might be lucky enough to spot one of those V-shaped skeins, they're called, of migrating geese. So if you look up high overhead, especially early in the morning sometimes, you'll see geese migrating high up overhead, even here in Manchester, as the wild geese are on the move at the moment. And a bit lower down, of course, the smaller birds like blue tits and great tits are flocking, beginning to flock together a bit more and go, they form little gangs to go from garden feeder to garden feeder. They often have a little route around the area that they do every day. So keep an eye out for them as well.
Yeah, yeah, completely. And also a great time to be looking out for fungi, which is always just so exciting, isn't it? You know, there's just some really real weird and wonderful kind of variations of fungi out there in different species.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, and don't be horrified and frightened of it. I know lots of people are. If you get some fungi in your garden that you can see, just leave it alone. You know, it's not doing any harm. It's the fruiting body, so it shows what's growing in your soil under the ground, really. So yeah, lots of different sort of shapes and colours, and the way they just pop up and then disappear, amazing.
And it's also the time. I mean, they're quite rare to spot these days, but hedgehogs will be kind of more active right now, won't they? And
yeah, I mean,
more likely to see them.
Yeah, you've got some young ones moving around. I guess you see them because they're moving around, and also because it's darker earlier, so more people are likely to be around and see them at the same time. So if you're lucky enough to spot a hedgehog, then that's absolutely brilliant. I think we've got a competition on, haven't we?
We do, I was about to say, and that is a perfect kind of segue into the Lancashire Wildlife Trust's annual hedgehog count. So we're really interested in your hedgehog sightings. So if you have seen a hedgehog recently, do make sure to head to our website and fill in the details of when you saw it and kind of what sort of time you saw it and where you saw it. And you will be automatically entered into a competition to win a trail camera, which are fantastic things. If you don't have them, you can sort of set them up in your garden or sort of tuck them away somewhere. And it's a great way to kind of spot more the nocturnal wildlife in your area. You can get some really incredible footage from them.
Great.
Amazing. So thank you so much for listening. And thank you for joining us, Hilary. If you want more tips or inspiration of what you can be doing in your space, no matter how big or small, to create an area for you and wildlife to enjoy, make sure to download your free My Wild Garden booklet, which again is available from our website, and I can drop the link down in the description notes below. And yeah, let's all just get excited for autumn.